Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Boys. Chipmunks.
Chipmunks.
Okay.
That's what the Chipmunks did in Alvin and the Chipmunks when they covered that song. It was beautiful.
We just did in a beautiful Instagram Live where we announced our spring West tour, Wild Wild West.
It's going to be so fun. And today, tickets go on sale to the general pub, so you can get a ticket if you're not a Patreon subscriber and just a regular plebeian. Today's your day to win.
Again, our show starts in LA, goes to OKC, and then down on to Texas,
where we'll hit Fort Worth, Dallas area, and also Austin. So go to sexyuniquepodcast.com and get your tickets while they're hot.
While they're hotter than a skillet.
Where's my iPad? There it is.
There it is.
Tonya, get up here.
Yes.
Come here, my little baby.
Right off the bat, I listened to
Rachel Goes Rogue Part 2. The premiere podcast of Q1 is Hey with Rachel Savannah Levis. Yeah, I listened to this morning. I forgot that like she even had a podcast. And then I was like, thank God for this. And honestly, this is my new favorite podcast.
It's called like, I Will Respond or something. She actually addresses her voice, which I was...
Her laughing.
Well, yeah, and her kind of like nervous, like people can tell she's smiling during the recording and like she...
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm like, why are you even addressing it? Just like, don't even let the... Just, yeah, your voice is like fucked up. But
don't
like,
let the haters win.
Yeah, don't let them win.
Many people laugh. I was like, a true comedian, she uses humor to process her trauma and that's fine.
This episode seemed a little more... I liked it. I thought it was pretty juicy. I thought it was... She's kind of coming into her power in this chapter and I think... She was sort of in charge. It was Rachel's turn. Her producers were mostly silent, which I was happy about.
Yeah, I think they're like probably still prompting her, but cutting themselves out of the conversation, which I very much appreciate.
She went, we had such a big reaction to the first episode.
Many people wrote in and I am hearing your feedback and I will address it. I feel bad for her because her podcast has a 3.3 rating on Spotify. And that seems unfair to me.
What is it?
Out of five.
Oh.
It's just like haters and trolls.
Give her a 4.5.
I'm sorry, but I hear a lot of podcasts that are... Actually, I don't because I don't listen to bad podcasts. But I know for a fact that that podcast is not a 3.3.
Guys, this is an... I was listening to this today as I was like cleaning and like zhuzhing up the apartment. And I'm like, this is entertainment. Like, she's giving. And she's giving her all. And she's giving the juice. She's giving the tea. Spilling the tea dole. And I actually think she's like bringing up good points. And it's interesting to hear her... Like, it's... Today was more about like Schwartz's...
Complicity.
Yeah, but also his like kind of... She had some like empathy for him, I think. Because he was, he did get put into a shitty situation. I'm not excusing him at all, but like Schwartz or Sandoval's a really bad guy.
He's just so manipulative.
He's unbelievably manipulative. And Schwartz is a big dummy, and he like kind of trapped him in this, you know, secret.
The creepiest thing to me was the story about how Rock was like reeling with shame the day after hooking up with Scando, and they had to go film. And she had to ride in an Uber with Ariana to, like, go film. And he was like, pretend like nothing happened, babe. And then they went to the bar and started to film together. And he personally sent them a bottle of champagne. And I was like, he's sick for that.
And she said, I think Ariana thought it was for her. And I think he was sending me a message, like a celebration.
This man is a sick pervert.
Wait, which scene was that? Was that when they go to girls' night and see Charlie?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
But they're in the car and Ariana says, oh, I hate this place. This is the kind of place where like random people come up to me and be like, I fucked your boyfriend.
I feel like it was like the... Or maybe not, because Rock came later. I don't know. I don't care to figure out those details. I just care about the fact that it's so creepy
and
to send the champagne... And send a message to, like, both your ladies.
But she's pretty real. And I
she's
think...
She's very real.
And I think when she's in... Like, she was... You know, she was pretty honest. She had a lot of shame and guilt. And to be in an Uber the day after you... Like, I could not imagine anything worse.
True. And the...
To be in an Uber in general, but also...
Admission of... Oh, my God. What was I going to say? There was something else that she... Oh, the house tea, where that she was like, Ariana, I think he doesn't want Ariana to buy him out of the house because he wants to stay there and hold on. So I think he's being stubborn. I was like living for that.
Yeah. And she said, I get why Ariana would be like, you're the one that cheated on me. You get out.
And also just like him hanging on to this relationship because of the house. They just shouldn't have done that together. I mean, I get being like, this is my forever person.
But she also, I love that she kind of was like, they were basically living in like a shithole before. So
I mean,
they trauma bonded living in this like hovel with a bad microwave.
I think about that apartment on a near constant basis.
I think my apartment.
I've been in that apartment.
What?
Yeah. I've been in that apartment.
What was it like in there?
Horrific. It was exactly what it was like. Dirty carpet, popcorn ceilings.
What did it smell like?
Vertical blinds, those chaise. It actually didn't smell bad.
I'm sure it smelled good.
But it's like, it's just like one of those
I can't believe
horrific LA dingy apartments that sometimes you just have to live in on your during your come up. And like, it, I don't wish that on anyone.
No, and yeah.
Popcorn ceiling is a true, it's death. Death to them all. Like, it is. I'm sorry to you if you live in a popcorn ceiling currently. It will get better. Just like,
hold on.
Let's research mama on how to get you out of there. But you also know, like, no one's excited to go live. Like, who in the world decided popcorn ceiling should be a thing? There's not a single person that's ever looked at a popcorn ceiling and have been like, I'm home.
Yeah. I mean, and we all know how we both feel about vertical blinds, which I've lived in vertical blinds apartments. So, like,
me
I
do.
It.
You have to serve time. If you
get to serve time in LA,
you have to really put in the time and live amongst the vertical blinds in order to really understand the struggle of Los Angeles.
But Raquel also described, like, the whole. I was fascinated at the Peter thing. And she was like, so one time when I was subletting at Sheena's apartment after I broke up with James, I posted a
or I did an Instagram live where I got some flowers from Trader Joe's and arranged them and then posted the photo and wrote, "When the light hits," and Peter Madrigal posted, "Beautiful."
And then basically she was like trafficked by the producers to like fuck him. And they were like, "You need to date him." And she was like, "I don't like Peter. Like, I'm sorry." And they were like, "Yes, but like the fans will want to see it." So
they were like, "Please do it for us. We want to take care of you. Like, how else are we going to take care of you if you don't like suck and fuck this guy?" So she does. The producers are nefarious.
Yeah, and she said she went on it. So she goes on a date with him that we all heard about, and she drinks 4 lemon drop martinis. And
no, this was before the date that they filmed.
No,
she
I know.
She went
this
on
was
a date with him.
And she cried.
Yeah, but this was not filmed.
No, I know. So she drank martinis and got like blackout, and he like came over and sat with her and was like, there. Let's get you home.
She was like, "I have to go home." And then as he was driving her home, she was like, "I have to puke." And she's like, "Then I puked in the gutter." And Peter texted, this is classic Peter, texted her the next day and was like, "That date was incredible. Can I take you out again?" He is she touched.
Was, he's what?
He's touched.
Okay. Wait, what do you mean?
You know.
Oh.
What?
Oh, man. Raquel also says that she was like, after that, I never want to see this man again. Only if I have to see him in a group setting. And the producer was like, "No, at least date him for a week."
They were like, "You went on a date with him and you didn't film it? You have to go on another one." She was like, "No, please.
Please.
Anything but that, please." And they were like, "No, you're doing it."
And she said that Peter gets like a pretty cushy salary because he's been.
Yeah, because he's been an OG.
Yeah. So like he's not hurting. She goes, "I think he was wanting something to help boost his paycheck." So they both had ulterior motives. And then she goes, "But I made sure to specify that I will only meet him in the day at La Boheme." So that's the date we saw.
If you find yourself forced into going or like coerced
to going on a date with Peter Madrigal,
you've reached a new low in your life and you need to really reevaluate every life decision leading up to this moment and do like a deep moral inventory and examination and try and, for the love of God, change course before it's too late.
I think puking on a first, like, look, I get her when she said that. I was like, I've been there.
Well, also, she's, like, drinking so much.
She's
like, "I'm drinking 4 lemon drops." I was like, the last time I drank 4 anything, I was, like, blackout.
Well, she was boozing. And then she said, and then after she went on the date, the film date, the producers were like, "That was so great. We think you should go on a glamping trip for your birthday."
They rewarded her.
Oh, no, sorry. That was when... Okay, so then she talked about going to Mexico for Sheena's wedding, and she kissed Tom Schwartz, as we all know. And then the producers were so happy with her, the work that she put in, that they rewarded her with
a glamping birthday with her closest and best friends.
I like her. She is going rogue, though.
She is. I'm into
it. I'm like, this bitch is going rogue. Every time I listen, I'm like... She's going the fuck rogue.
I went, "This girl's on fire." And
I called 911 and I say, "Hello, operator." They go, "This is 911. How can I assist you?" And I go, "Rachel's gone fucking rogue." And then I hang up.
"I'm here to report a rogue."
And they go, "Rachel Savannah Levis, we know. We've gotten 89 calls about it. We're on it."
And she said that at the wedding, Sandoval was like definitely behind like orchestrating this ruse of a flirtation between her and Schwartz. And
she's
that
a trafficking victim.
She kind of,
she
was definitely being,
is.
Obviously being,
she's a makeout. She's being forced into kiss trafficking.
No, I mean, the producers were definitely like throwing her around like a doll. Like it was a little sick.
Kiss trafficking is real. And I'm here to bring awareness to this phenomenon, this disgusting underbelly known as kiss trafficking on Vanderpump Rules. It's real and it is happening to a lot of people. Vail also is trying to get kiss traffic to Jax and Peter back in season 3.
Wait, I was getting that same discomfort I felt during Scandoval, where I was so like, whoa, at this situation. Like, it happened again during
Rachel Goes Rogue. That's how.
Wait, when also Rachel goes rogue, she fucking gags and snatches.
But I was thinking
your
about
your wig in particular.
I was thinking about the Mexico trip where Tom was like roaming around her hallway, and then she like brought him in, and they fucked. Like, just the
audacity,
the audacity, and that he's like swimming up next to them and being like, "Good job, guys."
He's sinister.
He's so sinister. And she was like, she kissed Schwartz. And also, it's sad because she like was conflating like friendship with like, oh, I should kiss him. You know what I mean? Like she
still just doesn't get some things where she's like, they're like, why did you kiss him then? And she's like, well, because we were friends. And I was like, girl, you've gone too rogue.
I said Rachel went a little too rogue.
Yeah. Sometimes when you are going rogue, though, all bets are off and you have no choice but to rogue even further.
But just that they were fucking on that trip.
Yeah, they're sick. They're sick. I like when she talks about the insane asylum. Mm-hmm. When I had to check in myself to the trauma therapy center.
She said Tom was immediately fucking other people.
Yeah, didn't people come out of the woodwork and say, yeah. Or like he didn't wait to date? I guess maybe after like they broke up or something. The letters, oh my God, the letters.
She goes, I sent a fucking lightning bolt postcard and I made sure that Schwartz intercepted them so Ariana would never see.
I'm like, girl, you're kind of dumb for that though. Like, you sent a postcard? Like, why don't you just write you need to like write with your left hand because and she... like, you need to like write with Zodiac. Your left hand and Zodiac style it. Put a fake address.
Because she was still addicted to this clandestine
drama. But I think she
drama.
Also is kind of like a dum-dum who can't advocate for herself. And that's not an excuse by any means. It's just like, we all need to like understand that and accept that when it comes to rock, that's what it is.
She's not the
Those
sharpest
are limitations.
Tool,
yeah.
You know, at the hardware store, she's trying her best, and I'm gagged. So anyone, all the haters who 3.3 Rachel Goes Rogue,
you guys,
fuck yourself.
I think that
Give
our listeners and the Sup Army, it's time for us to go rogue. Gather on Moss, head on over to Spotify and give Rachel Savannah Levis the 5 stars she deserves. I just have to say, I never listen to any of these idiots' podcasts except to make fun of them. And I've tuned in twice and with excitement a second time.
I know when it said a new episode, I went, oh.
Yeah, when I saw that in our like shared document, I was like, and I went, and then put on my fucking headphones and walked Tony to the delightful sounds of one Ms. Rachel going rogue.
I went full switchboard girl, like from the 20s, and was like, do-do-do-do-do. I was like going like, operator, hello, hello. Like I was like fully like.
I see a Morse code, like a mirror glinting in the sunlight. Yeah. And it's Carrie standing on his balcony to inform me that Rachel has once again gone rogue.
There should be like skywriting whenever an episode airs just over LA and it just says RRRGR.
I want Rachel Goes Rogue to chart. I'm ushering in a season of Rachel going so rogue. I need Rachel going Rogan is how badly I need her to like chart.
You know who's going really rogue right now?
Who?
J-Lo. Guys, J-Lo.
This is what happens when going rogue goes wrong.
So J-Lo's teased. We knew she had an album coming out called This Is Me. No.
I didn't know that.
Well, I knew that. And so today she released the trailer for like a full feature length movie that's going to air on Amazon. That's like a video album. Visuals of her,
but also
album.
Like her just like telling her story for once.
It's basically a J-Lo biopic starring Jennifer, and it's co-written
Looking
by Ben Affleck.
Stunningly gorgeous.
Did you
the
see
surgery's
that?
On fucking oh, fleek. The surgery is surgerying, and she, you know what? Like it looks like that Wachowski sisters movie with Channing Tatum that they did. That was
Jupiter
like a
Ascending.
Huge. Yeah, this is giving Jupiter Ascending vibes, which was I saw in theaters. It was floptastic, but I was like, this is her Jupiter Ascending, and I kind of think like we should all enter a place of delusional self-obsession at this level. Like if in the year of our Lord 2024, you're not putting all your funds into like telling your fucking Jupiter ascending ass story, you're doing it wrong.
And it's directed by Dave Meyer, who like did all the great 90s music videos. Like he's like one of the, he's like the best music
he is that bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like all the greats. And it's the effects are off the chain. The budget is limitless.
The budget, this is like a $250 million budget.
And it's basically about, it's like she's parodying herself about her being like a sex and romance love addict. And
I'm obsessed though with like, I'm obsessed with making yourself like so stunningly gorgeous in every scene. And it's like your friends are confronting you and they're like, you're a sex addict. And you're like, what? No, that's crazy. And you're like, so like, you know, like there's not an ounce of like ugliness or like shame or anything that would go with kind of those feelings of being confronted, which would be like an awkward or like some kind of traumatic thing one might have to process. But like her just being like, what? That's fucking crazy.
And I think the whole feature is leading to her reuniting with Ben.
Yeah. Is he in the movie too?
He wrote it. I think he might be in it too. Kim Petras is in it.
That's cool.
And
it has
Palmer.
A star-studded cast.
Did I see Fat Joe is in it?
Fat Joe is her therapist. We'll get back to that later. And she's in therapy and she's like, she looks 20 years old. I was like,
she went, okay, Joe. Fat Joe
like,
looks snatched.
This is.
You see?
Yeah.
He's looking great. Derek Hough is in it. I was like,
playing like a suitor.
She's like, I like
who's
you.
Who's he supposed to be playing?
Some gay guy.
Who has she ever dated? She dated that backup dancer.
Oh, well, she
dated Diddy. Is she going to talk about Diddy, like, gun era?
Oh, I
didn't see any of that.
I read that, by the way,
The court filing? Oh, I didn't read it, but I watched a lot of TikToks about
very
it.
Very scary. But she dated Diddy. She dated Ben. She dated... She was married to Mark Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
She dated Casper, that backup dancer.
That guy.
Then she got engaged to A-Rod.
Oh, yeah. Literally forgotten. I've eternal sunshine to everyone except for Ben. I know nothing.
They were like fully married. They were like common law married,
betrothed.
Basically. And they lived in Miami near where my parents live in like a... They live in... My parents live in... They live like across the waterway.
All right.
But...
across the waterway from the poor side of...
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joshing.
Yeah. They live in... My parents live in... It's a hog, not life for... Well, one of the scenes is very Annie Coda. She's in like a factory.
Yeah, she's having her like sad factory moment, which is important when telling one's story and getting down to the real me.
Well, and then you there's like a whole plot
there's
of
like
her being...
There's like a sci-fi plot.
There's a plot of her being young and like in the Bronx, dreaming of like the big city and making it big. And then she's working in a factory at one point and I'm like...
There's like 40 set pieces in this movie. The budget is truly like... I'm into stars going rogue because Kevin Costner's kind of doing this too, where he's like taking the majority of his money and like he's self-funding a directorial endeavor where he like directs like an epic Western.
Is he doing that right now?
I don't know, but that's like part of the reason he was like, I will only be in the next Yellowstone season and I will only film for 1 week. And they're like, you're the lead and that can't be done. And then like, in his divorce has been contentious, I think, because he wants to just use all his money. He's like putting it all on Red. Like he's like, I'm doing this movie and I'm into like
he's
swinging,
done some great movies.
Swing big, swing for the fences.
I mean,
this is true creative energy and I can't be one to hate on the vision.
Kevin Costner was the original Bradley Cooper. Dances with Wolves, The Postman, Waterworld.
When though is Matthew McConaughey going to be in like the next Yellowstone iteration? Remember that?
Is.
I know, but like when is that happening?
I don't know.
When are we going to have a
True
Beth
Detective
Dutton?
Yet?
Yeah. When are we going to get the Beth Dutton spinoff called Let Me Guess? Because
that's what her solo show is called.
I need a Beth Dutton vehicle.
I'd like to see Beth Dutton in like law school.
I just want to see her like post, yeah, like, or pre Yellowstone, like when she's really before she finds Rip. Like, I need more Beth Dutton content.
I think Beth Dutton will die at the end of Yellowstone.
What? Why?
Just she burned too
bright.
Why
would you say such a thing?
Oh, come on.
Do you know something that others don't know?
Why? Oh, I have the.
But like, I haven't watched the most recent season because I'm waiting for it to stream commercial free.
I stopped watching it, but I was like, God, I feel like. She burns too brightly, you know what I mean?
No, but Beth always
she lives
comes
too
back.
Hard.
You can literally, like,
or she'll fake her death or something.
You can, like, literally bomb her. She's she's unkillable.
No, I know.
She's
listen.
Been through it all. Why would you say, do not ever speak those words ever again?
It was just a feeling I got. I was like, God, because I feel like they'll just do that to be like...
To be like, it's over? Yeah. To be like, no, we're not making a woman show.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want that.
I refuse to live in a world where Beth Dutton's dead.
I love. I'm the one that turned you on to Beth Dutton.
I know, but Beth Dutton now has a hold on my heart.
No, I want like Beth Dutton. I want like a Legally Blonde, but Beth Dutton.
Legally Beth.
Legally Beth. True Detective, though, I saw, spoiler alert for everyone. I saw an interesting theory that Matthew McConaughey is Fiona Shaw, the woman who follows the ghost out into the...
He's the ghost?
No, that's his dad, and she's his mom because the guy, he said his dad's name was Travis, and he lived in Alaska.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that, but I thought
I didn't know that either.
While I was watching it, I was like, I'll bet he's related somehow to these people. I just thought that.
When I saw Fiona Shaw skinning a wolf, I was like...
I was gagged.
I love her so much. Everything she's in, she makes better.
True.
Jody.
A plus.
What's the co-star's name?
That lady.
She's
great.
When she rode that guy till the point of tears, he was crying. I was like, I turned to Simon and I went, she did that.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she has powerful fuck energy and powerful detective energy.
I'm really happy that it's Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I
hope, though, it's such a fine line.
I know.
Like, I can't have it going in like a Yellow Jackets direction.
No.
I think it's just like some people are seeing things, but we don't know. I love like kind of a psychotic, like druggy, like mentally unwell character. Her sister with the blue-haired sister. I'm excited to follow her journey.
I'm excited
about cheek piercings for the first time in a long time.
Wait, I'm what the fuck is her name?
For the first time ever, honestly.
Callie Reese. She's amazing.
Did you say she's a boxer in real life? That's hot.
I like their contention. I like their, like, she and Jody have a rivalry, kind of. I like Jody's lesbian daughter. Mm-hmm. I'm into it. I love the drunk.
Filming sex tapes with underage girls.
Yeah.
Predator.
I love
the drunk lady.
Yeah. I was like, every town's got one.
I love John Hawks, but I think that he is guilty.
Okay, I have a theory. I'm going to spoil. This is just my theory. If you don't want to hear it, just go ahead. But this is my theory already.
Mm-hmm.
That activist woman who was murdered like years ago, I think the research men were all bad and they like killed girls together.
Because
when Jody came in, there was something like strange about them. Even when we were seeing them, like it was very like just them doing their little errands at night.
Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling... When Jody came in and she goes, oh, so they're all like monks. They live like they're all men. Like she said, oh, all men.
They're kinda... sex traffickers.
I feel like there's something like they, because I think she
a
was.
Government grant. It's all a cover up for their big old sex trafficking business.
Or they were like, because she was an activist against like, I think.
The children.
The corporation that they were, that they're being funded by, I think.
But the guy said government grants.
No, I know. I think maybe she was killed by them or like the government killed her or like, but they're covering. Like, I just got a icky vibe from the guys. I think it's about women being like.
I get a little icked out by why as a man are you like living in Alaska?
Unless you're the thing and you're Kurt Russell and it's hot. But like, otherwise.
Makes me think of that guy who won that season of Alone.
Who was
Alaskan. He was just like a sad Alaskan.
Who like lived with his mom.
I'm also just like dark all the time. Take me out. And you're like, good morning. And it's like.
I'd go out. I'd,
that's like how it is now.
I'd run into the night too without my clothes on.
Yeah. I'd be like, Jesus, take the wheel.
So I saw a tweet that said that they were gooning at the end. You know, like the sex, like, have you heard of gooning?
What's gooning? Oh, what's a gooning?
Gooning is like when, like, during, like, if you're like edging with a guy or like, or you're
and they
a
go,
girl. Yeah, and they're like,
when they
they're,
come.
Like, just like weird, doing like really like goofy, silly faces.
Maybe that one detective came in and fucked them all to death.
She fucked the life out. That guy was kind of hot, too.
He was hot.
I liked how
he can
was,
live in Alaska.
He was sweet. I feel like he's going to get... I know, and I think the guy's son is so cute.
Yeah, he's
John
cute.
Hawk. I love him. Who is that? Who's that man?
The woman that plays his wife, though, is could use an acting lesson or two.
Which one is she?
That plays his like wife slash mother of his kid.
Oh, I think I blacked that out.
I was a little bit like...
God, by golly, Jodie Foster, she showed up.
No, no.
Well, let's get into people that don't need acting lessons.
Come here.
This is me now. This is me now.
I don't know what's happening out there. You don't need to worry about it.
It is, isn't it Dyatlov a little?
Definitely. Scary snow.
Night.
Energy.
Disappearance.
Yeah.
I did like the Ferris Bueller thing. That was funny. And it was very like, of course a woman would be the first one to be like, can we fucking turn this shit off?
Yeah, to be like, actually just open a fucking cabinet and find the DVD player. Like, what is wrong with you?
The men just sitting there being like, oh, we'll just
look
suffer.
Over it with a blanket. Yeah. I'm like, good God. How does Jody do it?
How does she do it?
How does she do it as a single mom raising all these kids? She's the Reba of Alaska.
What was with that one-eyed polar bear?
We'll
she,
find out.
Didn't she see like a stuffed animal?
Maybe a polar bear caused her husband to die, and maybe a child died too.
I think also like some
I think
kind
her
of,
kid died.
Yeah.
Or like a grandchild.
Well, her the girl who she's parenting, her dad, I think, was like a coworker of
is
her. That's not her.
The
she's,
blonde guy, her son.
No.
But John Hawks is his dad.
Yeah. And
she and John Hawks have never been married?
No. They okay. like hate each other.
Okay.
Her the girl that she's parenting is her friend's daughter that she took after he died.
So maybe the polar bear has something to do with that.
I think it's some sort of like ancient spirit, maybe also like awoken by climate change and like the tundra ice. Anyway, we'll see. Theories abound.
I love these theories of yours.
Like a tumbleweed blowing in an early spring wind, Sexy Unique Podcast is back on tour with a brand new show, an immersive musical comedy erotic spectacular that will debut on February 25th in L.A., Los Angeles.
Yeehaw! Then, what in tarnation? Carrie and I will be hitting the dusty trails, parking our steeds in Oklahoma City on March 1st. Then, on to the Lone Star State for two shows, Dallas-Fort Worth on March 2nd, and Austin, Texas, March 4th.
Us cowgirls are ready to lay down the law, so come get in line because it's time to two-step.
Giddy up on over to sexyuniquepodcast.com right now and get your tickets while they're still hotter in Hades. That's sexyuniquepodcast.com for tickets for the Texas tour.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day, is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So many of you have been asking, so we're finally dropping our skincare routines over at Too Niche.
From a Botox-induced droopy eyelid to a harrowing battle with adult acne, we are covering the highs and lows of our skincare journeys, as well as our current A-plus product recs.
So join us for new episodes every Thursday on Too Niche, where every topic is a thrill to us and nothing is too niche.
But speaking of ancient specters, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Polar Bears. Salty Utah Tundra. Queens. Part two of the reunion, we come up and Angie's immediately fighting. She goes, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here.
I have to say that I've turned a corner on Angie K, and love. I love her.
I'm loving this energy she's bringing in this reunion.
I crave her. I crave her.
She's pretty unshakable.
She is.
She's stony. She kind of just, she never really like wavers. She's just like Monica gets.
She's a reputable businesswoman.
And if you watch on Peacock, hearing the uncensored is like really wild for me.
Why? What are they saying? I watch censored.
Just hearing them actually say fuck is like jarring.
Monica has a dirty mouth.
Monica has a potty mouth.
She's a yappy little bitch.
She's a hoyden.
She is a total hoyden. I'm like, shut up for 2 seconds, please.
I'm clutching my pearls at the F-bombs at Monica. You fucking bitch. You fucking.
God.
And then we get.
Meredith asked for the heat to get turned up. Meredith is freezing.
I love her makeup in this is pretty.
Meredith went silent in this segment of the reunion. She always has like one segment of the reunion where she goes fully mute and she just exists.
What is different about her makeup? Is it her eyebrows are kind of.
I think
lightened.
She's bronzed and she had a facelift, like,
yeah,
before they started filming the season that might have taken a while to, like, for the swelling to go down. But now we're seeing, like, her new face. I think that's also why Angie K said that she's a trampoline with eyes, because she had a facelift and, like, I think that's why. And now it's, like, settled and she's, I hate her jewelry. I need her to stop wearing it.
Meredith?
That, like, low rent, like, mid-price jewelry.
I love this video of her and Brooks in Miami during Art Basel, and there was like flash flooding in Miami, and Brooks is filming them in the car, and it's just like flooding like up to the car door, and you just hear Meredith going, "La mer," like the sea. I love the two of them getting into trouble together.
Meredith is always like having car drama with like the elements. It's either like water or snow.
No one's addressed that yet. I hope they do.
I hope we get to, this is a real True Detective. Like, what is going on with Meredith and the elements and like huge escalades?
And then time for Monica and Vovo. LD comes into the picture and, okay. Can I say my hot take?
Say it.
I'm a little bit on Vovo's side.
Oh, I'm team LD all the fucking way.
When Vovo scolded Monica at Greek Easter, she had reason to.
Monica needs someone to rein her in. And I'm assuming that in the past it was her husband, but now she's gone rogue. And now no one has the reins anymore.
I'm going to say I'm sure LD was not a good parent.
Yeah.
I think she has a lot of, I think she definitely, I believe
she's
Monica.
She's psychotic.
She's a psychotic person, but I think when it comes.
And I understand why, like, it's very clear to me, like, why Monica is exactly the way she is. Like, one can only become Monica.
Maybe a little worse.
If one has been subjected to an LD.
LD
so
is a.
That all tracks, but I'm like, LD to me is far more entertaining than like Monica. At this point, I'm starting to be like, I don't want Monica anymore, because I'm like really weirded out by her. I find her to be incredibly off-putting in a way that I'm like not here for.
LD, we get a flash of Lisa running after Monica in Bermuda when Monica found out her family didn't want to see her. And I swear Lisa said, Annika!
Monica, Monica. Monica, what happened, Monica?
And then we get a shot of Lisa real time watching, and you just see her go, oh. Also, I'm convinced that Jack is not in Colombia, and she's just posting photos pretending. I'm like a truther.
You're a truther?
Every photo she posts of him looks photoshopped, and there's one of him like just in like a red, like it looks like a arcade. And she's like, this is Jack in Bogota. And I'm like, I don't believe you. I think he's in California.
Let's investigate.
Okay.
Apparently, LD asked to go to Bermuda on the girls' trip. They had to tell her no. So then she went rogue and she said to all the family members, "Don't see my bitch daughter." And they were like, "Got it. Message received loud and clear."
LD really wanted to be on the show. And
she abandoned, Monica says that she abandoned her when she like left her in Pennsylvania and like went to the big city. Andy was like, "What did she abandon you to like go do?" And she said she wanted to be on television.
And Andy goes, "Oh."
He goes, "Well, she's certainly on TV now."
Mm-hmm.
And then Monica said that when she was auditioning for the show, she felt like her audition had gone bad. And she was like, "Oh my God, like, mom, like what happened? Like my audition might have been bad. I don't know if I got it." And her mom goes, "Let us pray." And she goes, "Dear Lord, if it's not Monica, let it be me." Queen shit.
Wow. And everyone goes, you just see Whitney go, "Oh my God." And also the Andy asked Lisa how she feels about Monica's mom treating her badly. And she went, "It's really none of my business."
I'm obsessed with, "Lord, if you're listening, and if it's not Monica, let it be me."
Incredible.
That's a good prayer.
She's asking the Lord.
And it kind of, she got her prayer answered.
I love asking God for things. Mm-hmm. Please, God.
Please, God, please. If it's not Monica, let it be me.
You could argue if she was a good mom, you could argue she's just fighting for the family. But no, she just wants to be on TV.
Well, I mean, LD is like, she has shark eyes.
Yeah, she's seen things.
She ate a guacamole with a spoon and said, "What a delicious dessert."
Lisa at one point
lost
goes,
the plot.
"Maybe if I had a daughter like you, I'd be talking to plants too."
I know. I love them litigating the comment where Lisa was like, "No one wants to be your mom." And it's like, that's true.
That's true.
Literally,
no one does.
No one does. Because you act like a fucking crazy person.
Something happened to her. I think it was the mixture of gay husband, joining LD. Mormonism. Yeah. And then going to pursue like fame in New York. I'm sure like something happened.
She has fragile like Valley of the Dolls energy.
She came back from New York changed.
I mean, I think she was touched before that too, touched by Satan himself. But like, that definitely didn't do her any favors, whatever the thing she saw.
Is that what touched means?
That's not how I've heard touched used in the past. What do you think it means?
I didn't know for a second.
Well, I'll let you learn about it offline.
And then Andy goes, "Whitney, how are you? Are you in touch with Diane Warren, her dad?" And Whitney goes, "You're going to make me cry." She goes, "No, my father and I do not speak."
"Diane and I are not in touch."
She goes, "My mother and I are. For 16 years, we weren't, but now we are. But father and I do not, we avoid each other."
He's too toxic.
That's for the best, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, this is maybe an insensitive question, but do you think that he abused her?
That's what I was thinking, that has something to do with it. I mean, also, he's like an addict that either is like relapsing constantly. So like,
I was thinking either, I mean, I don't want to get into this like specifics. It's like, it's triggering and it's not my business. But like, well, she kind of made it her business. But either he was responsible for it, or he like enabled it with like a family or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. I was like, it's dark and I wish Whitney lots of love and light on her healing journey.
Diane.
I wish Diane love and light on her healing journey, and I hope that she gets sober. I hope Whitney gets her shit together and wears a better outfit next time.
Yeah, that was pretty
that
bad.
Her outfit is truly, like, what is she thinking?
Yeah, it's very, like...
It's very, like, summer girly. It's, like, beat. It's so strange. I'm like, this is winter. When did they film this? Like, fall? It's very seasonally inappropriate.
We find out Monica fell down the stairs at Angie's house at Greek Easter. Like, that day, Monica was pure chouse. Like, she was making such a scene. It's unseen footage, but Monica fell down the stairs and then threw her shoe.
And almost hit a toddler.
And then, like, Angie's...
In the head.
And Angie's family, like, people were coming over to be like, "Let's get you up. Like, let's get..." And, like, Monica was absolutely out of control. And then
I'm going to need cameras, though, like, because Monica is like Chouse rising. So like, I need cameras on her every move.
But that shot of her from above where you just see her back and she just goes, she throws, and like there's children and like really concerned. Like Angie said she had relatives that left because they felt unsafe with Monica.
With Monica and LD's shenanigans. Yeah. Like family has got to go.
And Monica was like, and then Angie goes, and then you were tweeting about suing me. And she goes, I didn't tweet at you. I didn't tweet anything about suing you. And then she goes, yeah. Angie goes, you said I should sue you, you fuck.
And she goes, no, I didn't. And it literally shows a screenshot of her saying, I should sue you, you fuck.
And then
she goes, get your fucking home up to code. She goes, Meredith said to me, do you want the house? You could take the house. And then Meredith goes, no, I did not. And Heather goes, Meredith, did you say that? And Meredith goes, no. And I'm like, she definitely said that.
Well, Monica goes, to be clear, I had to go to urgent care. And then she goes, and to be double clear, I had a conversation with Meredith. And you see Meredith literally go like this. And she goes, and she said, take the house.
You want the house? You can take the house.
And she said, I said it. The house should be up to code. Of course. I'm like, oh my God, you are all.
You're caught.
Litigious. Like,
but Monica is truly like the type of person who will throw anyone under the bus.
She'll, like, what do they say? She'll throw the thing at it, like the when you're just like throwing anything. What's that saying? I don't know.
But she like you can't tell her a single thing. Like if you were like, I stubbed my toe today and it like really hurt. Like if she could use that to her advantage,
she'd sue you.
She'd be like, bring your stubbed toe into the mix. Like nothing is off limits. She has no scruples. And that's why I also think that she is a dirty rat, is because you can't tell her a goddamn thing without her using it as ammunition if she finds herself pinned up against in a corner.
Yeah. And then Heather's like, is this what you do? Angie's like, is this what you do? You just sue people? Is that how you make your living?
You sue people for a living?
And I was like, there are people like that.
I've never sued anyone in my goddamn life. And Heather goes, you're suing me.
And she goes, that was a counter sue. And Meredith goes, a counter sue. And then Lisa says, gets into it with her, and then they start fucking going at it. And then Lisa says, no, you were misconveyed. I was like,
Lisa.
And then Monica says, touchette, touchette. And then Heather, you see her go, touchette.
They rile each other up to where they can't speak the English language anymore. And finally, Angie K goes, pay your bills. And Monica goes, no. And I was like, you're crazy. That is like her in a nutshell.
Honest.
I love just like, no.
No. Why would I pay my bills?
That is like, that's the kind of energy where I'm like, I don't know what to make of you, but you have to stay very far away from me.
I don't want her anywhere. And
I don't want her anywhere near me. I need like a orange alert or some sort of alert. I think we said this on the last episode, but like if she touches
FEMA
down
alert
in any city, any town or county,
you get
every
that
resident of the county should get the alert.
Yeah.
That Monica Garcia has touched down.
I'm sorry, I will not be gaslit into thinking she's like a girl. She's a queen.
Who?
Monica. People are like, she's mother.
Who's saying that?
Gays.
They need to find a new queen.
And then Annie goes, so you...
Monica told her mom to find her own ride home at Greek Easter, and so production called LD an Uber, and LD said, I'm not riding in that shit box, because it was a Subaru.
She's
a true queen.
I like the idea of, like, LD riding down, because Angie lives, like, atop a hill, like, the Acropolis, looking out on Salt Lake. Angie's Hill, just driving down. I'm not driving down this mountain with a Subaru.
I'm not going riding in that shit box.
And then we find it. Andy goes, so you've used various names, he says to Monica. Monica was born Monica Darnell. Monica Linda Darnell. And then...
I love calling your daughter, her middle name is your first name.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nutty.
Yeah, LD. This is why LD is LD. And then Monica started going by Monica Garcia, which is her mother's, like, lineage.
She's full of shit. She's a scammer. I honestly think my theory is that she was in on some sort of activity with Jen and then had to flip in order to save herself.
Allegedly.
But like, this is just my theory.
Yeah.
Like, with no facts to back it up. Like, I do not research. I just go on vibes and vibes alone. I think that she was in on it. And then when Jen was mean to her, that's when she was like, got like a moral, felt a moral obligation to take her down. But I think Monica is only out for Monica. I think if Jen was nice to her, she would have been right there with her.
And then we get a flash of LD going, Monica Darnell, when they're at their dinner. And she goes, you know that's not my name anymore.
These two.
And Andy goes, so you've used four names? And then Monica goes, I've only used three names.
And then she admits, she's like, legally, I've only used three names. But she has used four names. I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah. And then we get an update on Jack and why he got his mission trip, like, postponed.
Lisa goes, he has great abs, so he sent a shirtless pic for his visa and it got denied. But in his defense, he's been working out really hard. Mother of the year.
And everyone goes, wait, he sent a shirtless photo to be used as his visa photo. And she goes, yeah, probably the first Mormon ever to do it.
You know he had to do it to him.
And then they start talking about, like, how do you reconcile with, like,
blah, blah, blah. Like, fucking hell. Like, I don't care.
The Mormon church being, like, anti-gay. And Lisa goes, she goes, it never explicitly says LGBTQIA is not okay in the Book of Mormon. And she goes, every other religion treats them like shit, too. Fair.
Work.
And then they take a break, and Andy goes, we're going to bring Mary Cosby out, so everyone...
eat some cheese cubes,
yeah.
And gird your loins.
Monica's getting ready, and all of a sudden we hear knock, knock, and it's Mary looking fab, fierce.
Hair straightened,
darkened,
dress blue.
She looked incredible.
Cuffs on, heels high. She toots right into that room and asks Monica what's been going on, and Monica gives her the lowdown on all the Von T's of it all, and Mary goes, that is unacceptable. About, like, the other women. Crazy.
When they get out there, Andy goes, he goes, hi, Mary. He goes, you know, we really missed you the last reunion. And she goes, I didn't come to the last reunion. And Andy, you made me pay for it by not having her on the season.
Not having her on this season?
The last season.
Oh, yeah. But she's like, you said you came back because you wanted to help us out. And she was like, yeah.
And he goes, do you agree with that, ladies? And they all kind of go, yeah.
And then I was shocked by that.
Heather
was like, yeah, we did need her. Angie K goes, yeah. And Mary goes, Angie, this is your first year. Why are you even answering?
And then Andy goes, wait, she was just defending you and like saying you should. And she goes, oh, okay. She goes, Angie,
that's
why
Monica
are you even
vibes.
She goes, why are you even talking? You weren't here. And I'm like, wait. And then Angie just goes like this. And that's why I love Angie.
She's unflappable, and she looks at Mary and she goes, lipstick, and helps her.
And then Andy goes, Mary, who do you like in this cast? And she goes, well, I like Angie. I do like Angie. She goes, she can take me. And then Angie
she
goes,
she won her over in like 5 minutes.
And she goes, and I love Meredith. And then Meredith goes, and I love you. And then she goes, and I like Monica.
She's pretty.
She's pretty.
I really think she only likes Monica because she's pretty.
And then Andy goes, Mary, with all due, you, and she goes, and I liked you, but you were talking shit about me in your interviews. And Heather goes, what are you talking about? She goes, you made fun of my house. And then Andy goes, well, with all due, Mary, you called Heather inbred. And then we cut to her, Heather going, do you think I look inbred? And Mary going, yes.
Yes. Yes, I do. And he goes, what's worse, you calling her inbred or her talking about your house? She goes, her comments about my house.
And then they start like going back and forth. And then Mary goes to Heather and Lisa. She goes, well, I had my house before the show. So I was like, oof.
Her logic is fascinating to me.
I love someone defending you. And then you immediately go, shut up.
And then them going, she was saying she was on your side. And you going, oh, okay.
I like you.
I like her. Major. She tells a story about Robert Jr. and his girlfriend slash wife having sex in her house so loudly that she can hear it, and then her telling the wife slash girlfriend, like, don't make those loud noises, like, you'll make him think he's better in bed than he is.
Which, okay, in theory, it's like, that's true.
It's very Carrie Bradshaw. It's very Miranda Hobbs of her. But honestly, like, there was something about her telling this story and just, like, knowing her house and, like, the history of her family. It made me so uncomfortable. And you look at the women's faces as Mary's, like, telling this, like, story that she... This is why I love her, too, is because, like, this is normal and, like, kooky and relatable. Like, in her mind, this is, like, sitcom fodder. And everyone else, like, Angie K's face is like this.
Well, it's so... it's, like, disturbing.
It's deeply disturbing.
She goes, I heard the sounds, and I thought, well, what's going on in there? So I walked in, and I watched them, and I said, ah, and I closed the door, and I was, like, later, like... Don't make that. You'll blow up his head. Don't inflate his ego. And I was like, it's very, very dark.
That's a house of horrors.
It's a house of horrors.
Green carpet, those chairs.
And she says it without an ounce of, like, awareness that it's not right, which is sad. It's very normalized.
It's just, like, so weird.
I don't think Mary, like, does it, like, abuses her son other than just emotionally, but, like, I think
no, it's just uncomfortable.
It's like very strange, and to be telling it with such, like,
this is like a normal day in the life. This is just one of many days where just kooky shit happens in that horror house.
And then Mary point blank says, Whitney's racist, and Whitney goes, really? That breaks my heart. And Andy goes, why do you think she's racist? And she goes, well, it's in her, it's part of her people. She goes, the Mormons, you know, in the book. And she, I will say, she gags
them
all.
She had their number.
She said they basically, and it is true, I think, in the original text, they, like, say that anyone who isn't white is, like, damned. And they go to, like, a different afterlife.
They go to a different afterlife and, like, are their servants. I was like, oof.
And she goes, so with that, I think... Whitney's racist. And Whitney goes, okay, so I've never said anything to you, and I understand, like, we have a position of privilege as white women, so I agree with you in that way, but I have never said anything racist to you. And Andy goes, has Whitney said anything racist to you? And Mary goes, no.
She said, just a feeling I have. And I was like, I have to respect that.
Didn't Mary say, like, terrible things about...
Mary said quite a few racist things, I think, on this show, or just, like, weird. There's been ambiguous moments.
So,
but I guess maybe by that metric, she would know if something's racist or not. I'm just, like, obsessed with saying someone else is racist when they have never exhibited that behavior to you, but you just, like, low key know.
She's probably, I mean, honestly.
She said, I just feel it.
I was.
And Whitney handled it really well. They. Talk about the Mormon doctrine being rooted in racism. Heather goes, it's rooted in racism. And Lisa goes, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And I was like, Lisa,
I know. I
don't, like, fight this battle. And then Heather's like, well, they're trying to, like, right those wrongs or something. Poor Lisa, proud Mormon.
Proud Mormon.
Not the time.
Mm-mm. I really, even though it was, like, the person she said it to, like, probably hasn't said anything, like, to her outright like that. I appreciated her just kind of, like, clearing the room.
Yeah.
And, like, in that city, like, it must be hard to not be white and Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just appreciated her, even if, like...
One has no choice but to become a cult leader.
No, and I kind of just stand her being like, these are the facts.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'm down. They bring up Von Tees. And they're like, what do you think about reality Von Tees, Mary? And she's like, I don't give a shit.
And Heather's like, really? Even if she was talking shit about you on reality Von Tees? And then she goes, what do you mean? And then Heather goes, I have a recording. And Monica
even
goes...
Even if reality Von Tees called you a dumb bitch? And she goes, what? And Lisa goes, get the recording.
And Heather goes, like, basically like this. And Monica goes, this isn't true. That's not my voice. And I was like, it's literally Monica being like, yeah, so, like, low-key, I'm going to message Mary about all that shit.
This recording was very like taken out of context, I think. Like, I don't think she was necessarily calling Mary a dumb bitch. I think she's just like saying dumb shit. And like, the biggest takeaway that I was shook by is her being like, no, bitch, I can put it on fucking Von T's. And I was like, like, I can't take, like, proud admin of Von T's.
I'm also just obsessed with Tanisha.
Her, like, gotcha moment is truly to be like, whatever, I'll just throw it on fucking Von T's.
I'm also obsessed with her best friend basically, like, creating a dossier of just, like, thousands of minutes of recordings that you've sent over Instagram talking shit and implicating you.
To Heather.
No, it's just like, what a great friend of the year. Just
these ladies have no loyalty. Mm-mm. Von T's or not, whatever.
I'll put it on
Von T's.
And Mary goes, basically, I still don't give a shit.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care. I love that take.
Me too.
I believe her. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
I don't think any of these women really care that much. No. I think it's just like they hate Monica and want a reason to like hate her.
It wasn't like Von T's was this like looming threat for the last few seasons. If it in a miraculous like
we've never heard of Von T's until this moment, it's not like it was like a known account.
No, and like in my ideal world, Von T's has been at it since season one, and it's been this like kind of invisible villain, the kind of
like Von T's. They're treating Von T's like it's like Perez Hilton or something.
No, I know,
like it's
just
Deadline.
No, and then the fact that we learned about Von T's on the beach.
We should get, like, we should reach out to Von T's and see if we can, like, drop a Von T's mention.
What if, because Von T's is inactive now, but what if we, like...
What if Von T's does become, like, the new Hollywood Reporter?
No, but what, like, Nikki Fink, Deadline. What if...
Von T's needs to pivot and become, like, the, like, Hollywood, like, truly the Hollywood Reporter, like, the new Variety, the new Deadline.
What if one night, just, like... You were like, I'm going to just see if on like what happens. So you just you write, go on Instagram and click in and just write, have a tip. Hi, have a tip. And then no, 1 hour goes by, 2, 3, 4, nothing, no response. Okay, I'll go to bed. And then you wake up in the morning and you just see like at like 3:25 a.m. Hey, period. From Von T's.
I bet you could.
Wouldn't you be kind of spooked in the night that Von T's...
That Monica was laying awake in her weird little house at 4 a.m. reading your text of Von T's? Yeah, I'm really freaked out by... It's not the Von T... It's not about, like, the content of reality Von T's. It's about, like, that... The passion for being reality Von T's.
I think, arguably... These women, maybe that was what freaked them out the most.
I think they more like want an excuse.
Yeah.
But like, to me, I'm like, if you're, and I also stand by, like, I don't think Von T's was like taking Jen Shah down. I don't think that that was like happening.
Well, we get a preview of next week and we see that we learn that Monica had access to all the security cameras. And Lisa goes, you were fucking stalking her.
You were driving by her house. Like, why are you doing that? You're a mom. Why? That's a good question. Why is a mother? I just don't believe. Like, if I found out that my mom had a secret life running reality Von T's, I'd be like,
I'm emancipating
I'm putting you in a nursing home. Taking away your phone.
I would emancipate.
I'm committing you.
I also was like,
if you have enough time in your day as a mother of four to start an account, Reality Von T's, and like send people voice notes and mean like, whatever, I'll put it on fucking Von T's, see how they like it. You need to like get right with God.
It scares me that she had potentially had access to like surveillance footage and was just like watching her on her phone. And then I remember that this weird news report I saw a few years ago where like these young parents learned that someone had hacked their baby monitor and was like going like fuck her at night and like yelling obscenities at the baby while it was sleeping, and that scared me.
It was Monica.
I know, that's a Von T's move. It's a good reunion. I'm happy with
whatever.
It.
Whatever. I'll just like fucking put it on Von T's.
Throw it up on Von T.
See how they like it.
Scary.
I'm really freaked out
Me
by
too.
That.
But overall, I think it's been a good most reunions are flops, and this is a good one.
It's pretty good.
I hope LD comes out next.
Isn't she supposed to come out?
We'll see.
We need to send in the clowns.
Send in the clowns.
AKA LD in all her glory to set Monica fucking straight.
I want her to have like a Raquel where that one reunion where she came in that like horrific dress. Remember?
It was like one shouldered.
She stood. No,
the one with like the big.
Yeah. And she stood there like
she
resplendent.
Did like, yeah. I want LD to come in the third episode of the reunion. And I want Andy to be like, Monica, you are officially demoted to friend of. Please rise. And make her move to like a bar stool on the side. And he goes, LD, you have been promoted to housewife. Please come take your rightful seat. And then she sits to his right. Like, that would be so satisfying to watch.
He goes, take your snowflake, flake, flake, flake.
And all the women's faces would be like, because if you think Ms. Von Teese is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Ms. Darnell.
Ms. Darnell. Ms. LD.
The worst of the worst.
Reality LD.
Reality LD. What if she takes over the account?
Von Teese has like, it's a prime time to pivot and monetize.
I mean, LD spends her days just tweeting and retweeting horrific things about her only child. Like, she's the worst mother of all time. I'm sorry, I would say that to her face. Like, she is, yeah. She is a terrible person.
Wait, I was also shaken at remembering how Monica, like in their first conversation, remember when Monica was like, you literally thought you hung up the phone and you didn't, and I listened to you say, I hate your fucking guts.
She means that.
I know. But imagine your mom, hearing your mom say that.
Imagine getting full verbal confirmation that the person who brought you into this world hates your guts.
Only if you're Monica would that happen.
Yeah.
It's such a vicious cycle with the two of them.
I know.
Love it.
I think they need to not be in each other's lives.
I think they should be on the show and in each other's lives.
But here's the thing, I think we would come to resent it and be like, I can't look, this is just too much.
Maybe it's a good test. I would like them to push us to our absolute limits with these two.
It's like in Clockwork
Orange.
I want to
go like full, like they are going to go like full martyrs with like.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh my God, Carrie, I need you to see this movie.
I feel like it'll scare me.
I think you'll be gagged by it. I think you'll be like really incredibly gagged by it.
Gagged in the
but
way
who
that
knows, you can't know unless you try and watch it. But I want Bravo to like basically torture us with this relationship.
Women's stories matter.
They do now more than ever. This is me now.
This is me now. Let's do a little cult shout out to our cult girlies and gays and theys.
Let's do it. Sarah Elizabeth.
This is Sarah
Elizabeth. Lucy from London.
Lucy, Lucy, Lucy.
Brooke Johansson.
Brooke.
Brittany Ryan Weiss.
Weiss.
Danielle McMillan. Lady Swambridge gives no fucks. Lazara.
Lazara.
Mazatov.
Mazatov.
Mary.
Mary.
Mike Earhart.
Earhart.
Carrie Oaks. Oaks. Sharon Baum.
Realtor.
Ross Stanley.
Stanley.
Owsley.
Owsley.
Mariah Kay.
Kay.
Kathy West.
Kathy West.
Rochelle Martino.
Martino.
Kit Moore.
Diane Wiest. Kit Moore.
Hillary.
Hillary.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Patron of the Farts.
Patron of the Farts.
Nick Sedaris.
Sedaris.
Emily.
Emily.
Kim Lucas.
Jeffrey Pradama, Pradama, Pradama. Pradama, Pradama, Pradama.
This is the cult.
Guys. Again.
Go to sexyuniquepodcast.com, get tickets to our shows. You won't want to miss them. We're going to be in Texas, OKC, Los Angeles.
Wild Wild West.
And that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Well, no, next week is not the VPR. Does not start
no,
next week. But
it's coming around soon. The corner. We'll be back with Traders recap. bonus episode. And another final Rosic reunion part. Bye.
Love and light.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.